T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's call a spade, right?
It's true. We were dysfunctional.
Everybody wanted to win. We didn't win.
We, not just me, the world, even Kyrie knows.
He didn't play up to the standard that he wanted to.
It's not bad feelings. It's just sort of like, what the heck?
Dale Arnold.
Tom Brady.
You have the good ideas.
He's the luckiest of all time.
Rich Keefe.
Let me quote Terry Francona. What the bleep are you doing?
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Is this Dalback guy related to the old Brian Dalback?
Yeah, they're twins.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. Talking about the Major League Baseball trade deadline, which takes place at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I'll be at Fenway when it happens.
When it all goes down, when they get Noah Syndergaard and Edwin Diaz from the Mets, you'll be there.
In exchange for, in your world, Michael Chavis, Andrew Benintendi, and Bobby Dalbec.
That's right. It's a heavy price. I like those guys. I like Chavis a lot. I like Benintendi a lot. I don't think you would trade either one of those guys just for a reliever. Chavis, maybe, if you had to, right? Like, if you twist my arm, I want to help this team out this season. Even though I think Chavis could factor in the future of this team, whether it be second base, first base, whatever. I think he could be a part of the future. But this team still has a chance. As frustrating as this season has been, they still have a chance to win the whole thing. That's the reality. Their lineup is good enough, and if they can figure out the bullpen, and if Chris Sale pitches a little bit better, then why can't they compete?
So you're convinced that this year is a blip on the radar screen for Noah Syndergaard? And that the 82-year-old pitching coach can't quite fix him.
I don't know.
Right,
he's
now
probably got some pretty good techniques, I would say.
Keith said during the break, he said he pictured Regan taking the bullpen cart out to the mound for conferences.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta go out there.
I'm a little tired here.
Yeah, we gotta get this thing every time. Get the cart off the field. But I think, I think Syndergaard is good. Like, I think, especially you get him here in Boston with a real pitching coach and a real manager and the whole thing. I think he's good, and he's under team control for a while and not at crazy money. So you can sort of offset it, because Chris Sale's big spike in pay is going to be next year. So Chris Sale, David Price are going to be making a ton of money. Nathan Eovaldi is going to be making a ton of money. So you can't have 5 starters all making between $17 and $30 million. So Syndergaard, I think, slots in over the next couple of years pretty well. And again, this is more of a pipe dream one. I think Diaz is the more, just him alone is more realistic. And for him.
And apparently the Red Sox think that the asking price is too heavy for him.
Well, if it's Benintendi for him.
Or Chavis for him. As opposed to a prospect for him.
Chavis, I wouldn't hang up the phone on Chavis for him. Benintendi, I would. Even Bradley, and I'm no Bradley fan, but I would say, well, what? I don't know. I need something else. Because Diaz isn't having a great year. Like, you brought up Kirby Yates yesterday, a guy from San Diego who is having a really good year.
Yes.
And I'd be really interested in him as well. There's got to be a name. And my fear is, if the asking price is too high and then Dave Dombrowski says, we'll settle for somebody else's 7th or 8th inning guy. It's like, you already have a bunch of guys that are probably 7th inning guys on this team. The problem is you don't really have a 9th inning
guy. You don't have
a
9th, no. Yeah. Maybe that's what the issue is. We also, and I promise we'll get right back to the calls, but we also have been talking a little bit about injuries in the National Football League at training camp. We talked about today Tyreek Hill apparently was carted off the practice field. I've seen the video. Somebody was at practice and actually showed the Breland hit on Hill. I mean, if you were cynical, you'd say he looked like he was trying to take him out.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if he has a 3-year-old at home.
I mean, he literally, on a simple pass play, just right across the head. Now, it wasn't his head that got hurt. It was his leg, but his leg got bent back. According to Adam Schefter, it's supposed to be a bruised calf. He's supposed to be okay. You get word out of the Indianapolis Colts camp that Andrew Luck will not practice this week. he's having this lower leg thing. And I saw where Frank Reich, the head coach, was actually saying, you know, we saw what happened to Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And the lower leg thing turned into an Achilles and a blown yeah. Achilles. And that's what's got our attention. You're worried now that Andrew Luck is going to blow out his Achilles?
You should be worried about every one of your players all the time. And I know Belichick always gives the great line of, all right, well, if you know when he's going to be hurt, let me know and I'll take him out. But there are certain things that you don't need to risk. And I think for a lot of these guys, it is training camp and preseason. Because there's already limitations on how much you can really hit and do things like that anyway. But every single season, there's like a really good player who goes down with a season-ending injury. We'll read about one next week for sure. There'll be a guy that pops up and you go, oh man, they lost him for the year? How about A.J. Green getting hurt the other day?
Ankle.
On a field that is not up to snuff. They're playing on a trash field, I think, in Dayton.
Dayton.
And Tyler Boyd was talking about it, saying, this isn't a good field. Like, we shouldn't be out here. And your best player is going to miss week one. He's going to miss for between now and week one minimum. So I'd be so
Julio Jones said
guys.
Today he will not play a single snap in preseason this year. He did not play a single snap in preseason last year.
Right.
2 years ago, he played one quarter of a preseason game and didn't have a catch.
Yes.
He's just said, it's not worth it.
I'm not taking a chance. Right.
Now think about that. Your star player. And by the way, I've already said, I don't want Tom Brady touching the field for a preseason game. No, thank you.
And even Brady, there's more of an argument for Brady to play. I'm with you, though. Like, I would say don't play. But there's more of an argument for Brady to play than there would be for Julio Jones. Because like what Brady does is for everybody. Like, everybody can get on the same page with the quarterback. If your best receiver's not out there, or in the years that Gronk didn't play, your best tight end's not out there, it doesn't dramatically affect the offense as much as if Brady's out there. But either way, these star guys, it's not worth it because these injuries happen all the time. Some of them happen just running up and down the field in practice. Like, the non-contact injuries are brutal. And I know you can't just put everybody in, on ice and say nobody's playing.
I'd think about it.
But the
if
star
they matter,
guys, no,
yes.
But I was going to say, the star guys, you can. Why not? Every team has probably two or three guys that you say, if we lose this player, whatever chances we had are out the window. So, yeah, those guys shouldn't play. Patrick Mahomes shouldn't play.
I mean, if I were the Giants, Saquon Barkley wouldn't touch the field in a preseason game for me.
No,
I've already lost most of my wide receivers,
right.
Either through injury or suspension.
Right.
And he's the one guy I've got. I can't take a chance on him playing.
Yeah. That's the tricky thing.
And the NFL will continue to charge season ticket holders full price.
Yeah.
We're going to charge you as much as if you're going to see a December game, you know, leading to a playoff spot.
Yeah.
And we're not going to play anybody who
matters.
That's
why I think the players would take on an 18-game season, I believe, if you gave them all more money. If you said, hey, well, the league's making more money, so now you are going to make more money. So whatever your contract is and divide it by 16, like, we're going to find a way to get you two more full game checks. Everybody's going to get a bump. And you also go to two preseason games. So it's the same number of weeks. The season is just as long. I think they'd be in favor of that. Again, it's all about the money.
Well, the problem, what you just described, they probably would go for, or they might go for, because of the money. The idea that we're going to play 18 regular season games, but the player's only going to play 16.
No,
so their money doesn't go up at all. They're still getting 16 game checks.
See, I thought that was kind of funny, and that was entertaining to talk about, but that's such a dumb idea for so many reasons that's not going to happen. But if the season itself, because at one point, wasn't it a 14-game season or even
yes.
a 12?
Yeah,
like years ago, it was.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that was dramatic when they moved it to 16. And so maybe you move it to 18. And one of the byproducts of that would be, all right, we're going to shorten the preseason. The preseason sucks. You're going to get one home game, one road game. That's it. Some coaches
and I
might
still
have a problem.
And I still wouldn't want to play anybody. In fact,
no.
I'd be less likely to play players who mattered, because if I'm Belichick, I have even fewer opportunities to assess whether you're good enough to play.
Right.
So I only got two games now. I'm not playing anybody who I know what they can do.
Well, it is funny to me because you look at college football and those guys get right into the season early. And they play. Sometimes they play a huge game. There might be like these two of the best teams in the country will play late August, early September right away. And they have scrimmages and they try to prepare for the season. But they don't do a month of preseason games. And these are college kids. Like, they would probably need even more coaching, right? And even more seasoning and more preparation. And they just launch right into the season. And I'm pretty sure those games look pretty good still. So the NFL does not need as many preseason games.
617-779-7937. JP's in Rhode Island. Hey, JP.
Dale Kiefer.
What's up?
Real morning show, guys. Hey, listen, I got a question for you. Chris Sale, does he become Dennis Eckersley? Because it looks like it's time for him to go into the bullpen, be a high-priced reliever, because I don't think his arm is going to last. It's time to do something and go get a starter, because he's not going to produce. He's going to start breaking down, and I don't think it's going to work. I think at some point you got to say this isn't going to work, and I don't see it. He's just not strong enough.
I understand your concerns about injury, because it has, and we're now entering the months where he seems to have had the most problems. And I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that, you know, he's given the Red Sox what they expected this year. Obviously,
no, he
hasn't.
Right.
You know, he's got a record of 5-10, and his ERA is 4.26. But I will say this, and I think it is fair to say that he's kind of been held hostage by a couple of really poor performances that have really kind of skewed things. You know, opening day for him, he goes 6 innings and gives up 7 earnings. You know, and his ERA is 21 after his first start of the year. He's had some good performances. He's also had some performances that, frankly, were not quite what you're looking for.
Right.
But you look at the entire month of May, he gives up 0 earned runs. 1, 2, 3, 2, 4. I mean,
and like a bunch of strikeouts. No, but this is nowhere near the guy, especially signing him to the extension prior to the year. So they had this whole season to go. And then they decide to pick up or to he's getting paid still pretty cheap this year. And then it's all of a sudden kicks in. And so JP's point about him being a closer, and like maybe he could be a good closer, but at $30 million a year, I don't even think they're ever going to even try it. Certainly not in the first few years of this contract. But this is not even close to his worst season in the majors. Like, that's how good he has been. Like, he has had these awesome years. He's never won the Cy Young, but you could probably make a case he's the best pitcher maybe ever to not win the Cy Young. His worst season ERA prior to this year was 3.41. That was back in 2015, his second to last year with the White Sox. And as you mentioned, Dale, now it's, you know, 4.26. This is not the guy that you're used to seeing. He already has 10 losses on the year. The team has lost a ton of games when he's been out there. It's been a weird year to figure out. And sure, the win-loss record with pitchers, you know, at times you could say it's not the be-all, end-all to see how he's been pitching. He lost a couple of games where they didn't score any runs for him. But at the same time, when it's your ace, he needs to out-duel the other guy. It's sort of too bad. They only scored 2 runs for you. Well, you got to hold them to 1. That's just the reality of being the ace of the staff.
I mean, his start 2 starts ago, the start before they went on the road, it was against Toronto here. And I happened to be calling the game. He was great. I mean, he was working at 90, 92, but was putting the ball where he wanted to put it and had a very good performance. And you're saying, wow, you know, that's what we're looking for. You know, 6 innings, he gives up 4 hits, 2 runs, and you're saying, all right, that's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then his very next start, you know, the game against the Yankees, he goes 5 1/3.
6.
And gives up 6 earned runs.
Gives up a 6-pack on you. Yeah, just, you know, not. And what's really frustrating about that one is you have an opportunity to sweep a 4-game sweep of the Yankees. And the difference between, and I still think the division's out of reach anyway, but at that time, that's the difference between picking up 4 games and then just 2. Like, it's a 2-game swing there when you're playing head-to-head, and they had an opportunity to go on a hell of a run. And not only that, but going back to the previous series where they took 2 out of 3 against Tampa, now you're talking about taking 6 out of 7 against the 2 teams above you in the standings. So that was a big, still a successful back-to-back series, but it could have even been so much more.
617-779-7937. Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike.
How you doing? I'm still trying to grasp the 18-game regular season because, okay, so you have 4 preseason games. The players don't get paid. Now you're going to take 2 of those games away. You're going to pay them for the 2 games they play. And then if they do the 16, you only play 16, they're essentially preseason games that count in the standings.
No. I'm throwing that out, Mike. I'm saying if they ever do an 18-game season, they won't have the stupid you can only play in 16. I don't know why that was brought up.
Stupid
I don't think
idea.
That would ever make it to see the light of day.
But even still, okay. So the tickets are already paid. So they're gonna have to jack up the TV rights then, because that's the only way they're gonna make the money up.
Yeah,
that's
but that's where
and
way
the,
more
and
of the money
TV
is.
Networks will pay them.
Yeah, and they will.
No, because I don't know how much of a difference it's going to be because you're paying the players for the two games. So those two extra games.
And you're going to charge the networks for the two games. And you're going to charge the TV packages are going to go up. The money's going to go up.
Right. The next deal,
the NFL will more than pay for this.
Yeah.
But it's still the same amount of games. The only difference is the two games count. So I didn't know if it was that much of a difference.
But see, the networks don't have preseason. Yeah, the preseason is local TV.
It's local, and then there's
networks
like the
have a game
outside
here
of like a couple, right? The Hall of Fame game,
for the most part.
Yeah.
The preseason games are local TV. They don't make anywhere close.
Right.
All they'll do is increase the package prices to Fox and ESPN.
Well,
think
about like Monday Night
NBC.
Football, and Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Sunday Night Football. You're adding two more of each one of those.
That's why they want to do this, because it's really the only way they can increase their money. To any dramatic degree, you can't really increase ticket prices all that much. You're pretty high now.
As far as money,
merchandising isn't going to change dramatically.
Money that the league makes, I can't imagine that ticket sales is a huge percentage of that. Nice. And when they sell out, that's great. They get the 8 home dates and whatever. But compared to what ESPN and CBS and Fox are paying, NBC, it's not even close.
Well, and it's a simple formula. We've talked about this in the past. Before the Patriots ever sell a ticket, they've already made money on the season just from their TV rights deals.
Right.
Just the money that the network, the individual team's share of the network money means they're in the black before they ever sell a ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the NFL, it's pretty easy to turn a profit in the NFL. If you own a team, you're doing all right. You can't
I was going to say you can't screw it up, but some teams have. The Cleveland Browns have screwed it up for years.
No, that's a good point. But this is their year. I like what they're doing
You are just
Baker Mayfield.
Sold on Baker Mayfield.
I like the Browns. You don't like the Browns?
No, I do.
Yeah,
not as much as some.
No.
I don't think that they're an AFC title contender, and I've seen some people try to make that argument.
Yeah, I can see that they are. I do think, unfortunately, the Steelers are going to be a little bit better than I think people anticipate. Like, no Antonio Brown, you think, they're going to really sink. But
Le'Veon Bell, who they didn't have last year.
Right, exactly. And they always find a way to still win games. But that'll at least be a competitive division, unlike the AFC East.
To me, it is a two-horse race in the AFC.
Oh, just the Chiefs and the Pats?
That's it. One of those two teams will win the AFC championship this year.
Yeah, probably a rematch again. Right, I think so too. I think they're probably head and shoulders, but Chargers. You still got the Texans. If Deshaun Watson has a complete, full MVP caliber season, I think they could be in the mix. And there's always one surprise team that kind of pops up there, and we'll see who that is.
By the way, they are. We talked about Andrew Luck and how Frank Reich has already talked about the strained calf and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Adam Schefter tweeted out, Titans running back Derrick Henry's nursing a strained calf. Colts quarterback Andrew Luck is nursing a strained calf. Players and teams, think back to Kevin Durant. Want to make sure they're not rushing back any sooner than they have to during training camp. Kevin Durant has scared the hell out of NFL teams.
Isn't that amazing, the impact that Kevin Durant's injury could have on just professional sports? Like, I'm kind of dealing with something. It's like, you cleared to play, and then now you're looking at the doctor saying, is he really cleared to play?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Like,
his strained calf? We just saw a guy in the NBA say he had a strained calf, then he went out there and blew out his Achilles.
Yeah, now he's out for an entire season. So, they're going to be even more cautious. The old school football players must be losing their minds.
Oh.
Like, they already have to be when they see these, quote, practices that they have right now. Nobody's got equipment on. They're not doing two-a-days like they used to. And now they're saying, this guy has like a cramp, and now we're going to hold him out of practice probably. Like, they got to be going nuts.
Well, and not only that, but in a normal course of events, there's guys you don't want to play anyway.
Yeah.
But if there's even a question mark about an injury situation, you don't dare play him.
No, you can't.
But now you're worried. I mean, just imagine where the Colts go if Andrew Luck, and we've seen this
before.
We've
seen them. We've seen the Colts without Andrew Luck. It's your guy, Jacoby Brissett. You tap him on the shoulder.
I like Jacoby Brissett, but I don't think he's leading you anywhere.
How many holes in a straw?
Oh, I know. He's got that hole.
How come outer space is cold?
He's got a lot of
hard questions.
Deep thinking.
Has he still been doing that, by the way, Shyam? Is there any updates to Jacoby Brissett?
Our crack research staff is on it right now.
All right. I'm curious if during camp they're like, hey, why don't you get your nose in the playbook and stop getting so deep? People are having a hard time keeping up with you.
Look at your playbook and not Science Weekly and see if you can get back to stuff that matters.
He's willing to ask the tough questions.
To the football fans.
That's true.
Paul's up in Maine. Hey, Paul. Paul?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good.
Very well. I want to talk about the NFL adding 2 weeks to the season. Why don't they just add one game and then add another bye week? So every team gets 2 bye weeks, and they only have to add one more game. Then you only got to play the players for one more game, and you're collecting 2 more weeks of revenue from the networks.
Yeah, maybe. I just think there'd be an issue with if you don't have the same number of home games as other teams do. I think that's probably why they've always suggested adding 2 games instead of just the one. So then that way you go from 8 home dates.
Sense.
You know, that's my guess.
And I don't know how the network looks at the overall money that they send to the league. My guess is they don't look at it in terms of weeks. It's almost like, you know, we're paying X millions of dollars per game for every game. You know, we're not paying for the bye week per se. We're paying for the games.
Yeah, right. No, that's true. So the update on Jacoby Brissett is goose egg, nothing.
He has not tweeted since July 19th.
You know what? He's taking this football thing seriously.
He is. Or he's just trying to answer some of those questions before he asks some more.
And he's going to ask a million God questions. Knows there's so many unanswered.
Well, didn't NASA reach out to him?
He said try to help him out. Well, it's like when Kyrie Irving was flat earthing everything.
He was a flat earther.
And there were, you know, organizations saying, Kyrie, we could talk to you
Kyrie,
about this.
Why don't you come up in a hot air balloon with me for a second?
Just one quick second and see.
Quick ride around the earth. What do you say?
I never believed he actually thought that, though.
Yeah, I don't know with him. I think one day he might have, the next day he didn't, then he went back.
He's not that dumb.
I don't know. How do you know?
That's a good point.
he might be
that dumb.
Actually, we can get to this later in the program, but Wick Rosbeck was on the Greg Hill Show this morning here, and he was in studio. They talked for a while, and obviously Kyrie Irving's name got brought up there.
It did, and
I was kind of surprised at some of the stuff Wick said about Kyrie. Well, maybe I shouldn't be, but I was a little bit surprised.
The fact that he likes him more than you do now, that's probably the top of the list.
Well, no, everybody likes him more than I do right now.
I know.
But the fact that he was
January 17th.
But I think there's a method to his madness there. You know, you don't want to be the owner that trashes a player because then that might affect you getting the next player.
Yeah,
you know
there are things you can say.
Same
and
with
can't
Danny
say.
Ainge and Brad Stevens. They're not going to say a bad thing about him. But how do they all really feel about Kyrie? They got to hate his guts.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get back to the calls in just a couple of minutes. We've got Kiefer Madness, though.
This is a real
coming
treat
up
today.
Moments from now. Yeah. And you know what's even more exciting? It's the first Kiefer Madness where you get to be here.
I'm in studio.
You get to stay. You don't have to go to some other room somewhere.
Well,
thank you, Danielle.
Yeah, thank you, Danielle. Appreciate that.
So you get to do it here. I get to, you know, actually see you because I can't. You sort of go around that corner and I can't find you over there.
Yeah. No, I know.
So I don't know when you're, you know, giving me the finger or scoffing at me or
just
anything.
Just assume that I am.
Okay, that's probably easier. 617-779-7937. But we've got
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ending now.
That's right, Dale. It's
don't
back.
Make that a thing.
It's back.
Don't make that a thing.
Storm Area 51. Of course, that was a madness from a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was all in the news. It was a very big deal.
When were they supposed to do that, by the way?
Not till September, I believe.
September 20th.
Yeah, oh, okay. Shyam's going.
See them aliens via a Naruto run.
Shyam's our Naruto run expert, by the way. But, Dale, it
he
sounds
actually did
like
it in the hall.
It has. Oh, it was great. But things. So you remember that one, obviously. How could you forget that? Apparently, that is not going to be the only storming going on here in this great planet that is Earth. There is more storming going on.
It's
going
to involve this building.
There's a chance.
Oh, really?
There's a chance. I think once we get there, it's not high up on the checklist, but there's something that could be even more compelling to some than the aliens at Area 51.
Last week we spoke about millions of people that were planning to storm Area 51 to try and find
my favorite story.
Signs of alien life. Well, now a new Facebook event has popped up. And 20,000 people are now pledging to storm Loch Ness.
Yes.
Storm it. You storm can walk Ness. Right up to
you
it.
Storm Loch
Anybody
Ness.
Can go. Well, I mean, I haven't, but you can.
I've not been either. I mean, I've not been in there.
Storm it. Just
you're
walk
storm
right
it.
In.
Well, maybe you could, but they have a Facebook group now, so you know it's legit.
This is the next big thing.
Yes,
Facebook storm, groups to storm stuff.
Correct.
Loch Ness. Saying Nessie can't hide from us all. That's
right. Nessie,
yes,
again.
She can, unless you want to swim really deep.
She has for a long time. She's been quite hidden.
Nessie can't hide from us all.
You cannot hide from us all, Nessie.
I can't say like
that. That's from down in Australia, so they're having a good time with that. So that's the goal now is because... Now, do you believe in the Loch Ness Monster, Dale?
Yes.
Yeah, so do I. How can you not?
I've seen enough visual proof.
Something. It had to be something. I don't know if it's an actual monster of some sort.
It's some giant lizard or something.
It is. Like, it's something I want to believe in. But I don't know if there's like a monster in that lake. Because I know there's one in Vermont. Isn't there like Lake Champlain has Champy? Like there's lake monsters everywhere.
Yes.
But all right. So there was find them aliens. So what would the catchphrase be for storming Loch Ness?
Now Nessie, truth seekers say, can come together en masse September 21st to, as the event description says, find that big boy.
So it's find them aliens.
Find them aliens.
And find that big boy.
Find that
big
that
boy.
That big boy. B-O-I.
Description says find that big boy.
Well, is it a boy or a girl?
It's not a boy.
Who knows?
It's a man.
They're going to find that, that's for sure.
They have,
I just want to say.
They have always said.
Yeah,
that Nessie is a girl.
Nessie's a lady. Yeah,
and I don't know how. I mean, who's gone and lifted the tail to check?
No, I have not yet. Saying, that's part of the story.
I don't know.
That could be a big part of it.
I just want to thank our producer Lizzie for making Chris say "storm dat big boy."
Yeah,
or find how'd that I do? Big boy.
You did great.
It was
thanks. Second time was
the
even
highlight
better.
Of my morning.
Yikes.
Sometimes I don't see these things before they come up.
I didn't either.
And I just say "storm dat big boy."
Be like me saying it, right?
Yeah, well,
storm dat big boy.
So you're probably asking yourself, Dale, you know, what are...
Many things right now.
What are some of the dangers of Loch Ness?
Water in the 22-mile-long, 750-meter-deep lake is a very chilly 43 degrees Fahrenheit with waves up to 13 feet high. So, sure, Nessie might not be able to hide, but it's not like any of the dying hypothermic lads and lassies will get to that big boy either. Ironically, there's no need to storm Loch Ness, since unlike the super-secret, mega-restricted Area 51, the lake is open to the public 24/7.
Yeah, see, that's sort of your point originally.
Get a tour group that'll take you right there.
At any moment, you could go to Loch Ness, I guess.
Quick flight to Edinburgh, and then off you go.
So maybe it's not, you know, storming in the traditional sense, but it's more just a gathering at Loch Ness.
Oh.
We're all allowed to go, right? I just think if you say storm, it's more of a call to action. Like, if you hear that, rather than, hey, you're all invited to Loch Ness, you're like, what's the catch?
If
they were storming, aren't you more interested, Chaim?
Absolutely. Yeah. And if everybody gets a canoe...
Oh,
and everybody
like
gets
that.
A net, you can easily search without actually getting in the water.
And all of you will be dead within about 15, 16 minutes.
What do you plan on doing with the net?
Scour the water for
with the
something?
Net? What are you looking for? Bait? You're not going to get Loch Ness. The Loch Ness Monster is significantly bigger than you, I, or
well,
maybe even the
Titanic.
But it might attract the monster, or you might
hit
something.
The whole canoe thing is a really dumb idea.
Would you guys
on a lake with 13-foot waves and 40-degree water temperatures, and oh, by the way, a monster!
Would you bring bait?
Yeah, you are bait.
Maybe you are bait. I was going to say, what does the Loch Ness Monster eat? Is it human? It's human.
I have no
idea.
Okay,
it might be humans.
I don't know that.
All right, so I know another one of the questions you're asking yourself is, what exactly is the plan? Because, again, you don't really have to storm it. It is open to the public. But what are they trying to do here?
In just 2 months, these shores are expected to be packed by tens of thousands of people as they search for the Loch Ness Monster. But their technique might be a little bit flawed. They're going to be using sponges and straws to soak up the 23-mile-long stretch.
Sponges and straws.
Well, you can take a lot of water with a sponge.
Soak it up.
Yeah, you suck up most of the water.
You want to drain it.
If you drain it, you'll know whether or not.
Once you suck up your straw full of water, where do you put it?
to the right of you. So you're basically just moving Loch Ness from in front of you
from
to
right
behind
there
you.
Over yeah. to here.
But if you get a 10,000 people with straws and sponges,
it won't do a damn thing.
Shime is losing his mind back here right now.
I think a couple of people could just die from it, right? I mean, that's... There's no way that could really work, but that's the plan.
But their technique yeah. might be a little bit flawed.
It's a little
They're
flawed.
They're going to be using sponges and straws to soak up the 23-mile-long stretch of water. It's the brainchild of Brian Richards. He says he's planning to finally find that big boy.
Well, me personally, I just want to find out that Nessie exists. If I find Nessie, yeah. that's all and well. I don't want to capture Nessie. I don't want to hurt Nessie. I want Nessie to be safe.
Doesn't want to capture
Trust
or
me,
where would you
you're
put
not
going to
capture or hurt Nessie.
I don't know. Nessie's fine. Nessie's definitely fine at some point.
So he says he's planning to finally find that big boy.
He's going to finally. It's been a lifelong dream of mine to find that big boy.
Well, just wants to meet it. Like make friends with it.
It's a woman, though, isn't it?
Nessie?
Yes.
Well, I
that's
think
but we don't is. Know. That's why I'm using guess, the
I,
it.
I do
here.
Think he needs a few more folks with straws and straws sponges and than he's got lined up right now.
Now, the UK has an official website up for Nessie, nessie.co.uk. A simple control F and type in the word she is all over the page.
It's
so
she.
Definitely a girl.
It's a lady.
Well, I don't know that they know that. They've, you know, it's.
How do you know that?
It's a 50-50.
I'm saying,
shot.
I don't know anybody knows.
Just they're, like whether Mike Leake will be traded, it's 50-50. It's really
Mike Leake's going to the mound tonight. Or Nessie's a girl.
Now, do you think everybody bringing straws also brings a bucket to hold some of that water?
I think that would
take some home
help.
As a souvenir, maybe?
Yeah, I think that would probably help. Now, I know.
Suck it out of the lake, spit it into a bucket. Suck it out of the lake, spit it into a bucket.
Now, Dale, I know you were a huge fan of the Storm Area 51 song. You didn't like this one as much, which I'm surprised, because it is catchy.
It doesn't surprise me. That it's right at the top of yeah. Shime's playlist
it's right
based
there.
On his other musical
taste. It's right
taste.
There at the top. It is good. Now,
I didn't say that
you can only
good.
Imagine, though, huh? that Loch Ness,
oh, they,
storming
oh,
up,
no.
they have a song
oh,
as well.
No.
Yes.
Is this by the Bay City Rollers?
Is this what they're doing now? This is Cool Kid Chris on YouTube. Good job by John Anderson, our producer today.
Take a picture.
This.
It lasts longer.
Cool Kid Chris looking for the Loch
There seems
monster.
To be like yeah. two lines of lyrics yeah. in the entire song.
Pretty much. Again,
that was a
though.
Snippet. It was like a five-minute song.
There was 5 minutes of
thanks
that.
Thanks for trimming that down for us. And this is, so again, Storm Area 51, I think, was the first and probably the greatest. Storm Loch Ness. I like it. It is
dumber.
Flawed. It
yeah.
is flawed, but it has led to a bunch of others, Dale, including this one.
On October 1st, over in the Atlantic Ocean, there's about 20,000 people planning to storm the Bermuda Triangle.
What do you think of that one?
The what?
The Bermuda Triangle.
Storm it.
Storm the Bermuda Triangle, yeah.
Do you think he knows that it's in the middle of the ocean?
Well, yeah, they probably do, but there are, again, boats.
I didn't know if he knows.
No, I don't know if he knows it either, but that's one that you could do.
And Yeah. So why do you need to storm it? Why can't you just go there yourself and check it out?
Well, they'll tell you why. They have a nice catchphrase as well.
20,000 people planning to storm the Bermuda Triangle. It can't swallow all of us. Yes, it can. And that looks like it's supposed to actually just be a live music event somewhere in Miami where attendees dress as pirates or SpongeBob characters and all the proceeds go to cancer research or something. So that's cool.
So that's good. It's going to be, I think somebody else referred to it as
can't
swallow
all of us.
Festival.
Yes, it can.
Yes, it can. There's also Storm Mount Everest. Looks like Storm Boston Harbor.
Yeah, that went real well this year for the folks who were actually trying to climb it.
Again, it's the biggest graveyard in the world.
Storm Boston Harbor.
So the description for Storm Mount Everest first
okay.
is November 12th is the event. They can't
Lovely time of year there.
They can't freeze us all.
Yes, it can.
Quote, after the victories at Storm Area 51 and Bermuda, our next target is in sight. The cold peaks... and Yeti Cheeks of Mount Everest.
I give them credit for a snappy catchphrase.
All right, but. So you're interested in Storm Boston Harbor, because at least that one's local.
Well, at least I can go to that
you can
one.
Get to
I
that
mean,
one.
The whole
Mount Everest would be
gonna,
a trip.
Not going to work.
So Storm Boston Harbor, that would be on December 16th.
Also a so lovely time of day, year to do it.
And the event page on Facebook says, find that tea. You're going to find that tea. You're going to No?
They don't understand the whole concept of tea in water dissipates. The whole... No. So you're going to find it.
Yeah. You don't like that one? Okay.
You know what? I pretty much decided the whole storm movement has just...
It's too much.
It's jumped the shark for me already.
Right. Well, storm that shark maybe could be the next one.
Just to be find the megalodon.
Find the megalodon. So there you go, Dale. I don't know if anybody's interested in any of these. I know I am. And good luck to everybody.
Find that big boy.
Listen, if all of a sudden big boy was, you could click on a link and find a video of big boy, I would.
You'll find me Naruto running from dem aliens to that big boy.
Well, you actually, Shyam, I think, would do some of these things.
Yeah, I think you would.
I'd definitely do it.
Storm the Bermuda Triangle, Shyam. Tell me how that goes too, okay?
I will probably disappear and be unable to tell you.
Oh, well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We're going to talk about Wick Grosbeck's appearance on the Greg Hill Show this morning when we come back. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
So earlier today on the Greg Hill program, one of the principal owners of the Boston Celtics, Wick Grosbeck, came into the studio to visit with Greg and Danielle and Fitzy. By the way, he had some physical issues, too. I guess I didn't know this, but he had a water skiing injury and had to have surgery. Jeez. And Wick, come on now. Take Look care out. Of yourself here.
I know.
But talking about basketball stuff, he was interesting as well. And we knew some of this was true, but to hear him actually say it, he talked about the frustration of watching the Celtics, especially in the postseason.
And that's what it felt like to watch the Celtics lose to the Bucks.
It was. yeah, exactly. We win five and then we lose four. It's like, you know, it was an up and down year, obviously, and we... up and down and difficult and hard to really love the team, as I said, from time to time. But
yeah, I was going
to
ask you
when we
about
won
that.
Five playoff games in a row.
Yeah.
You know, to start the playoffs, like, all right, we just swept Indiana and then beat Milwaukee pretty, you know, by double digits in Milwaukee to go up 1-0. That's when you start to feel like, okay, well, maybe we figured it out. And then we lose four in a row.
I mean, think about that. You sweep the first round. You beat Milwaukee by double digits in the first game of the second round, and you're feeling great about yourself, and then lose four in a row.
And then you just absolutely get smoked. And you remember Paul Pierce saying,
it's over.
It's after one game. This one's over, and the Bucks, you know, they don't have the answers, and Al Horford played so well. They limited the Greek Freak. At least, you know, he didn't shoot very well, and they had a great game, and they had just won five straight playoff games. He said, there you go. This is the team that you were waiting for, because they gave you glimpses of it throughout the year. Remember, they would win two or three games in a row against good teams, and you'd say, wow, look at it. Everybody's clicking. Everybody looks pretty good. This is a serious team. And then they'd go out there and lose to some non-playoff team. You're like, well, what was that? And then the playoffs roll around. They made quick work out of Indiana, but then after that first win against Milwaukee, it looked like they didn't even belong on the floor with them.
So we know just from a fan's perspective how hard it was to watch the Celtics this year and how frustrating to like the Celtics, how hard it was to like the Celtics this year. Well, feel better about this Celtics fan. It wasn't any easier to be an owner.
I mean, you did say that. You said this was the toughest team for you to watch.
It was tough, yeah. It's been 15, 16 years. And this one, I mean, I like the guys and actually been in communication with, I think, every single one of them over the last week or two. It's not bad feelings. It's just sort of like, what the heck? I mean, we could have done better.
Yeah.
Nobody's angry, but nobody's happy. It was just a year that we're just going to turn the corner. We've got new players now, and we're going to have a new approach.
I mean, this is definitely the year to be the most frustrated because LeBron finally leaves the Eastern Conference, so it opens up the East. Golden State, you don't know if it would play out this way necessarily, but Golden State has significant injuries. this was the year. This was the avenue to sort of speed things up, because you thought, all right, well, Golden State will probably break up when Durant's contract is over, and then they'll sort of go back to being a really good team, but not this unbeatable force. So you're going to have to wait until at least the 2019-20 season. No, but there was an avenue this year. Toronto threw it together. They had a new head coach and a new star player, and they put it together and won the whole thing. So, yeah, if there was ever a reason to be frustrated with just not only how they played, but the blown opportunity, it was this year for the Celtics.
All right, before I bring you the next cut from Wick, I want to bring you a cut from Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart was on The Jump and was talking about the Celtics this past season and what was going on here.
I mean, let's call a spade, right?
It's true. We were dysfunctional. You know, it takes a lot for guys and especially athletes. Things didn't go quite as we wanted, but we got to look ourselves in the mirror. What did I do? What could I have done to help? And like I said, we all took part in it. We all could have done something better to help for that team.
Well, and Smart's right about that. You can't just, yes. I mean, it's easy to just blame Kyrie, and I've been doing that a lot, but it's everybody. Kyrie gets the most blame because he also would have gotten the most credit had they had won. Like, you're the best player, especially in the NBA, let alone the best player in any of the sports. You're going to get all of the attention. And so they were dysfunctional. But I like how Smart is saying, it's like, what else can I do? Because Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you hope that they don't go into this year and say, well, Kyrie's gone, Marcus Morris is gone, Terry Rozier's gone, so we're all set. Like, no, it's still up to those guys because they didn't fit well together. You throw Gordon Hayward back in the mix, they never really got it figured out at a consistent basis. So they need to turn their game and probably more importantly their attitude around.
So Wick was asked about what Marcus Smart had said.
Marcus Smart, I think, said yesterday that this team was dysfunctional. You agree?
Yeah, I mean, Marcus is kind of heart and soul of the team. He's got a great attitude, a great work ethic. Everybody wanted to win. We didn't win. It just got a little messy in the Milwaukee series. It just seemed like four losses that were not particularly close. And so now we've got some new guys and a new approach.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what the new approach is, right? I mean, just you got Kemba Walker in here, and I don't know, is Brad Stevens' approach going to change, or is it just more the players have changed and you hope that they buy into it more? That was the biggest problem. The best player didn't respect the head coach.
So we knew the exact moment when Rich Keefe jumped off the Kyrie Irving bandwagon.
That January 17th, I believe?
We knew the exact moment. No. And it was when I called Braun and apologized.
That's right.
We knew the exact moment when Rich Keefe jumped off the Wick Grosbeck bandwagon, and it happened this morning.
Well, it just wasn't a general air of happiness around the team at the end. And, you know, he just sent me a text the other day out of the blue, and it was a really thoughtful and you know, nice text, lengthy text kind of, and I responded and we had a nice back and forth. I mean, that doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
With players, and he's a guy that wants to have a good relationship. We do have a good relationship. He and the Celtics organization have a positive relationship. We wish him kind of the best, except when they're playing us. We kind of wish you the best. But he's a good guy. He tried hard. He gave us 2 years and we're going to move forward.
So, if that's true that they have a really good relationship, my question would just be simply, why
is he gone?
No, why do you have a good relationship? He left you. He didn't want to be here. He walked away. And I think he kind of was a major reason why your team didn't advance further in the playoffs than they did. Because let's not forget, not only did they lose 4 in a row to Milwaukee, but how bad was Kyrie Irving in that series? But I think what Wick, like, I'm not upset at Wick for those comments. I don't think he's telling you the truth. I just think he thinks, what's the point of ripping a star player after he leaves, because we know how sensitive these guys are in the league and they'll remember that. Anthony Davis's dad was mad at the Celtics for trading Isaiah Thomas. So what do you think the next star player would think if he went to the if he heard that the Celtics owner was ripping Kyrie on the way out the door? I just really can't imagine he believes that, hey, everything's all good and I'm rooting for him unless he's playing us. Like, no chance.
But if you're an owner in any league, but if you're an owner in the NBA where the players really hold all the cards,
yeah,
you probably don't want to develop a reputation of ripping a guy, because at some point you're going to be dealing with some other player,
and
you're going to be negotiating with some other free agent.
Now, Dan Gilbert ripped LeBron when LeBron left, and I think he did that. Well, Dan Gilbert might be an idiot, but I think he did that to really appease to his fan base, and they were all hurt when he left. But LeBron still came back, although I think one of the reasons it was easy for LeBron to leave the second time, part of it was the owner they didn't like. And so I think Wick Rosbeck, just like Danny Ainge has done, Danny Ainge hasn't said a bad word about Kyrie. And if anybody has the right to, it'd be both of those guys. Kyrie told everybody he's coming back at the beginning of the year. Then he plays out the year. He plays like crap in the playoffs, and then he bails. But if those guys want to at least publicly say everything's fine, then I guess so be it.
That was Wick Grosbeck on this morning on the Greg Hill Show. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get back to the calls with you guys in just a few minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.